You are listening to Hands at Work Audio.
Okay, we are family. So we can speak together as a family. And we know that our Father is present here today. We know that Jesus, in some mystical way, is the head. He's the head of us. All of us are crafted into Jesus. All of us are part of Jesus. And this body is so diverse. It's so beautiful and rich. They are strong and weak and rich and poor and highly educated and uneducated. But you know, we're not the building of bricks. We're not a denomination. We're a moving body. We're a moving body of living people called the body of Jesus. Imagine that. You and I, we are the body of Jesus. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. As members of this beautiful body, let's be honest with each other. So often, we've got an identity crisis. We don't really know who we are in Jesus. We don't really know what it means to live it out. We don't really know what does it mean to be a Christian in 2016 in Perth. What does it mean? We're not always sure what it means. And the reason why we don't know is because we do not know the one to whom we belong well enough. I know you love him and I know you know him, but do we know him well enough so that we are so closely connected with him? And through that, understand what we're supposed to do because we're so connected with him. And this morning, I want to speak to you about that. That we are a family. And I want to give you a strong argument why you are partnering with Hands at Work in Africa. Although I'm not going to talk a lot about Hands at Work in Africa. When I stand here, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And I would love to share with you about Hands at Work, lots of things. But this morning, I want to share with you who you are. Friends, it took me 20 years to understand that. And I'm only getting glimpses of it now. And it's transforming my life. And who you are and why it is so crucial for you. Each one as a person, not as a church. Why you are partnering with Hands at Work in Africa. So, I want to tell you about a young man I met in a Congo about 4 weeks ago. His name is Shadrach. I went to a community called Kisunka. That's a name that everybody knows the community about. In Hands at Work, we call it the Lost City. Because we heard about that place deep, deep in the forest. We heard about it. We heard how people were suffering there. We heard that there was no government support, no NGOs, no churches helping. And we started to go and reach out to them. And as we reached out to them, we got lost. There were five of us. And we got lost in the bushes for 3 days. Stuck. It was terrible. We tried to make fun of it. But I remember at night how we would sleep close to each other. And how my African brother from the Congo will tell me how hyenas come at night when you sleep and they try to eat your nose. And so, needless to say, every night all of us were sleeping like this. But we found this place, this lost city. Absolutely a community rejected on its own. No hope, no school. Just terrible. And we infiltrated them with the love of Jesus. We went in there not as arrogant people, not as, but we went in there and we connected with the poorest, and slowly we started serving and caring and feeding. That was 4 years ago. Today, we've got more than 200 children there that we care for. And 4 weeks ago, I went to this community to go and see how it is going. And as I walked, it was a huge, big playing field. And as I walked onto the playing field to go and see them, those kids saw me. They went crazy. They just come running, all 200 of them. It's like, you know how that feels? I mean, recently I faced a rhino about 15 meters away. There was nowhere to hide. It was me and the rhino. And I tell you, my heart was pumping at about 400. But when I saw those kids, I think my heart was pumping at about 500. They just came running to me because they're so desperate for love. They so want to be known. And as they came running to me, the Holy Spirit just showed me among all of them, there was this young boy. There he is, Shadrach. I wish I had a better photo. But there was Shadrach with his stick. Both his feet are severely misformed, so he can't use his feet. And Shadrach with his stick, among all his kids, working his way, desperate. I saw his face among the crowd, and his face was focused. He was so desperate to get to me. He was so, man, and he kept work. And I started walking back into the crowd. As they came running to me, I walked through them. And I stopped in front of Shadrach. And I went down on my knees. And I put my arm around him. And I said to him, "Hello, Shadrach." You know, by then, Shadrach was like this. And all those kids were so much taller than him. And he had this little stick. And his eyes, he was bewildered. He was looking around like this. Why is this guy talking to me? You crazy. I'm the disabled boy here. Who will care about me? And everybody watched. And now it's this huge circle. And it's Shadrach and it's me. And I'm focused, laser focused. I look him in the eye. I ignore everybody else. And I said, "Shadrach, I missed you." And he stood there and he couldn't believe. 200 kids. He's the worst, disabled, dirty, stinky. And he realized it's true. He's connecting with me. Whew. Can you remember when Jesus did it to you? He went through the ground. You know, I connected to Shadrach. And as I connected to Shadrach, the whole community was stunned. They just stood and they looked. And it was like everything just became in context again. They looked at Shadrach. Why will George connect with him? The next morning, Shadrach is looked after by his grandmother. His parents died. The next morning early, I slept in a village. The next morning early, I went to Shadrach's house. And there Shadrach stood on a rock. He stood now with his little stick in a rock. Naked. Stark naked. And his grandmother just threw cold water over him. And now she's washing him. And his kid's standing in a little winter sun. And he's standing there. Naked. Freezing. And then he looked up and he saw me coming to him. And you see just how... Man, that kid is tattooed in my spirit. When I want to give up, when I want to run away, when I feel rejected, when I feel lonely, when I feel that God is a million miles. Shadrach's face, when I walk to him, and he's standing on that rock naked, and he saw me, and it's true, I came back, I came for him. Yesterday wasn't a fluke shot, here he is again. And I took the clothes and I dressed him lovingly and carefully. And I took him and I threw him on my back. And I walked with him through the community. And everybody watched. Everybody looked and said, "It is really a God of love, isn't it? God really does love us." You see, I want to speak to you this morning about being part of God's family. Like Shadrach is part of my family. How did God? Was it when you said the ABC prayer and then everybody have to remind you, remember you're a Christian now. Is that what it means to be in his family? Oh, it's a far cry from that. Far cry from that. Something happened after your salvation that was bigger than your salvation. Is it possible? Yes. You know what happened? You've been adopted. You've been adopted into your daddy's family. You've been called into God's family. Adoption is intensely relational. And it's relational from the one who adopts. He chose to adopt you. That's what adoption means. And Paul in the Bible is very, very clear. He speaks and he says, we have been adopted. We have been adopted in God's family. I want to read to you a scripture quickly from Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 4. Listen to these words. Blessed be the God, and here's a word, and Father. Of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us. Did you choose him? I saw Shadrach, and I chose him out of 200. I said, that's the one. God the Father chose you. Wow. He chose you even before the foundations of the earth. You know, I adopted a girl. I have seen tens and thousands of children in the last 20 years suffering and hungry. But there was one day that I saw a girl lying naked in the sand, 10 months old, sick, her whole family died of AIDS. She was sick, she was repulsive, she was hungry, she was... And I picked her up in my hand like this, and I chose her. Out of all the children, I chose her. You know, it's one thing if a mommy is pregnant and she expects and she have a child. That's good and we love it. But you know, you can't choose. You've got to take what comes. If you adopt, you choose. You choose. Jesus said, you were not born into my family. I adopted you into my family. I chose you. I chose you. Nikiwe Grace Snyman. Her name means I was given grace. Isn't it incredible? The day the court stamped that papers, and he said, Mr. Snyman, as of this minute, this child is yours. She became legally my child. If I died, she inherited. If something's in trouble, I fight for her. She became my child as much as Joshua was my child, my natural child. Nikiwe became part of my family. She became part of me because I chose her. Joshua, I just got. I'm happy for him. I beat him into submission. But Nikiwe, you know, even before I came here, I think I told Rachel, just before I came here, she's 15 now. Oh, she's so amazing. Just before I came here, she was playing piano. And my head just ran back. 14 years before that, she's lying naked in the sand, dying. I took her to a doctor and he said, she's dead. She's not going to make it. And I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. said, you're mine. I'm choosing you. The worst, the sickest, the worst family in that community. I've never seen a house that was as filthy and as poor as Nikiwi Grace's house. Today she lives in my house and she plays piano. You know, in Ephesians 2:19, we read this. You are no longer foreigners or refugees. You are now members of God's family. I'm going with this. I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to go with me. You will understand what this means when you look at this photo of a refugee. Friends, this happened this year. On the rich islands of Greece, where the rich people have holidays, a refugee child washed out. As their parents tried to flee from Syria, and a boat sank. That's what it means to be a refugee. Don't bluff yourself. Refugees are not a nice place to be. A refugee camp is a hell hole. I know, I'm telling you, it's a hell hole. To be a refugee is unbelievable. You will never understand. You don't know what it means to grab your bag and to run out of your country. To be abused, to be exploited, to be killed, to die like that, 5 years old. That's what it means to be a refugee. There are 60 million refugees in our world at the moment. Jesus said, you're not a refugee. Like I picked the Kiwi up. Jesus picked you up. He picked you up. He left the 99 and he came for you. Why? I don't know. I don't understand it. It's mystical. It's beyond my understanding. But he chose you. He picked you. He knew your name. And because of that, now here it comes. Because of that, you are bursting with compassion for people around you. And no other reason. If you give to hands because we need to help those poor kids, please stop. Please, I don't want your money. I'm not here to ask you for your money. I'm here to remind you that you were once lying in a beach like that. And if you don't know it, you've never been exposed to the truth. You live in a fake lie that tells you that you deserve where you are. I want to tell you, you deserve nothing. I want to tell you the truth. Let's leave the Bible one side for a second. I'll tell you the truth about this. There's a coin. Heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails. And it fell on heads for you. And on tails for that kid. And you are where you are because of when you were born, where you were born, and who took care of you when you were young. And if you are arrogant and boastful about it, you are 100 miles poorer and weaker than most people. You've got nothing. You deserve nothing. What you have and what I have is called crazy grace. Crazy grace. And that's the thing about our adoption. It's called adoptive grace. We look at that and we weep. But we don't just weep for him. We weep for ourselves. Because we are so arrogant and rich in our own minds. We are so selfish. We are so self-righteous. We demand, we want, we insist on. We forgot where we were picked up. This is not for us to feel guilty, because there's nothing to feel guilty about. But it's for us to fall on our knees and to say, God, I can't comprehend your love. Because honestly, if there's anybody that should never have been showed grace, then it is George. I don't know why God gave me grace. I still don't know. But I know one thing. He picked me up. And when I picked the kiwi up from the sand, it opened my eyes how he picked me up. It was Nikiwe. People will say to me, wow, George, it's amazing that you saved Nikiwe's life. No. Let the truth be known. Nikiwe saved, and daily is still busy saving my life. Because every time I see that child, I remember where I found her. And that takes me back to where Jesus found me. And I remember where he found me. And then, friends, this hard, selfish heart somehow becomes soft. And when I see pain and suffering and need around me, I don't have a choice. I don't feel guilty, but I want to. I want to reach out, because I'm so overwhelmed with the one who reached out to me. And that is why we show compassion. And that is why we love. We love because he loved us first. We give because he gave to us. Not $10 or $20 a month. Your daddy gave his son for you. His son. I told you I've got Joshua. That's the only boy I have. I've got lots of girls. But I've got one boy. I won't give him for you. I'm serious. I'll die maybe for you, but my son is not going to die for you. It's not going to happen. I love him too much. I can't understand how my dad allowed his son to be slaughtered so that you and I can have life and life in abundance. But he did. And because he did that, there's something in us that explodes, that makes us dangerous, that makes us different, that makes us part of the body, that say we are going to be like that. We are going to be like our brother Jesus, because our dad showed us the love he has for the world. Not just to get people to say the ABC prayer, but to reach out to them. That Shadrach's, to look at them, to run to them, to fall down and to say, come here, out of everybody. That naked girl lying in the sand, to pick her up and say, I choose you. This is what we must do. This is what your life is about. And friends, that's why you are partnering with Hands at Work. If you partner with us because you want to help us, or you feel that, well, I'm here, they're there, it's not going to work. As soon as trouble comes, you're going to stop supporting me. And I'm going to have to stop feeding the kids and caring for them. You and I are brothers and sisters of one body. And you know, Jesus taught us one thing. If somebody hurts, we jump in. We care. That grace that was shown to us, we show to others. We live it out. We do it because it was done for us. And then when you partner when it goes well, and you partner when it doesn't go well. Because Jesus got to the place in the garden where he sweated blood. And he said these words, Abba, Father. I can't explain to you what Abba Father means. People still struggle. I've done a study on it. Some people say it means daddy. It's underselling it a million miles. Abba Father means you're in his hands and nothing is going to touch you. And Jesus said, I'll teach you how to pray. You say, Abba Father. You know what is ludicrous and wild and crazy? Is that when the Kiwi was adopted by me, I loved her as much as I loved Joshua. Honestly. Maybe even a bit more. I really, really do. Now, is it possible? Can you imagine that the Father loves you as much as He loves Jesus? That's how much He loves you. It's deep. He pursued you. He chased you. You belong to the most dishonorable families in this world. He gave you the most royal, honorable family. And do you think it is because you deserved it or because of your behavior? No. It's in spite of what you deserve. It's in spite of your behavior that He said, come. You, come. I'm taking you as dirty as you are, as full of mess as you are, and the Kiwi can do what she wants to my house. She stays my daughter. She's not my daughter if she gets straight A's. She's my daughter. Friends, and you partnering with a community called Welverdiend. It's a Dutch word. You know what it means? Well deserved. You know that community were women and orphans that fled Mozambique civil war. And they ran through the Kruger National Park. Every family lost members killed by lions, crocodiles, wild animals. Many of them have never seen their parents or their grandchildren after they fled Mozambique. They were thrown in the bushes by the apartheid government. They are so far away from the nearest town that if a young man goes to look for work and he's got zero chance and he comes back without work, that trip is their monthly budget to stay alive. They're stuck in the bushes. Refugees. Foreigners from Mozambique, rejected by South Africans, gone from their own nation, kicked out during civil war, abused, the girls abused, the grandmothers dead tired, the men drunkards because they just have no hope. Who in their right mind will partner with a community like that? Oh, we will, right? Oh, that's down our alley. That's who you partner with. That's people that depend on you. They are your brothers and your sisters. Isn't that incredible? And we do that. We get tears when we remember how rebellious we were, how arrogant we are, how selfish we are. And yet, all we have to do is say, Daddy, I want to come home. Even when we're full of pig manure, everything, Daddy is always in the veranda. George is coming home. And he runs. He runs to meet me. He will run for you today. Friend, today, if you want to come home, He'll run for you. I want to just tell you the last thing quickly. There's a promise in the Bible that those who are adopted as sons and daughters receive the gift. Woo. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the sons and the daughters will receive the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, as a son and a daughter, are you saturated with the Holy Spirit? Is He welcome in your life? Are you so worldly and overwhelmed with the things of this world that there's no more space for the Holy Spirit? Because He won't compete with those things. But if you open, He'll give Himself. He'll fill you today. He will make that the reality to you that you adopted, that you loved, and that you've got a fingerprint that's unique, which means you can change this world. You've been raised for a reason. They tell you you've got to wear a Nike t-shirt to belong. Man, they undersell you big time. Big time. You are uniquely, amazingly created with a fingerprint. And God said, I've been waiting for years for you to pick up that amazing call I've given you and to change this world, to bring life and hope. You are not one of the many out there. Many of us, if we don't understand this, when our father brought us into the house, his son went to go and fetch us. You know what we do? At night, that's crazy. At night, we climb out of the window and we go and play in the street with the others. We go and scratch in the dustbins. We go and eat food out of the rubbish bins. I work with many street children. That's exactly what they do. We give them the most beautiful houses, food, everything. At night, they jump out of the window and they go and dig in the dustbins of their friends. You will say to me, George, I promise you it's true. 90% of them do that. My question to you is, are you in your daddy's house doing the thing that your dad is doing, eating with him every day? Around the table with your older brother Jesus and with all your brothers and sisters? Or do you still jump out of the window at night and go and dig in the dustbins? You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and you are part of his plan. And his plan is simple: go and fetch them. Not go and play with them. Not be part of them. Go and fetch them and bring them home, because Dad is homesick for his children that are out there. I know how it feels to have a child out there. I know. It's heartbreaking. Sons and daughters of the Most High Father, you partner of hands because it's good for you and good for us. You are unique and loved, and you've been adopted. It's been stamped. You're in that family, like it or not. And your father loves you very much. So this morning as I close, let me ask you this. How's it going with you and your dad? Sometimes he look at you and he sees that. Right? You know the pain when your children are on drugs? You go and look for them at night, wandering the streets. Where are they? Come home. Come home. You don't belong in the streets. You belong with your daddy. You belong to this family. You belong to Welverdiend. You once were lost, but now you're safe.
Thank you for joining us. www.handsatwork.org